an increase in suspended solids and an increase in BOD, a substantial increase in some cases. And that left other members seeing a relative decrease in their share of that flow and loading. So you'll see that year over year, and this is budget to budget, that Belmont will decline by $52,000, Redwood City will increase by almost 1.9, San Carlos declines by $118,000, and West Bay goes down by $635,000. Now that's not all entirely due to COVID, but we believe the vast majority of that increase for Redwood City, more than $1 million of that is related to COVID. So on the next slide, some of these flow and loading figures. I'm sorry, I don't have that. I apologize. Going back though, I can speak to yes, some of these figures we believe is like the in West Bay's case, where the Facebook campus was largely evacuated and so much of that flow is no longer coming to the plant. So much of that loading is not coming to the plant. Well, that's a very significant decline in those numbers. Redwood City, denser city, housing, people staying at home, saw that increase in flow and didn't see that evacuation to the extent that other members may have, whether it's hotels or offices and what have you. So we're left with this, you know, allocation puzzle. So we did discuss this with Redwood City. We've discussed this with a few members just to get some feedback, but that's what it's indicating right now. If there are no other questions on that, we'll touch on revenue funded capital. This is what we call PAYGO capital. Every year we spend around $1.5 million. And this year you'll see the list of projects that are earmarked for next year. And on this list is the underground fuel tank replacement. If you recall, that was a Fund 20 project that we believe we can bring into this PAYGO capital and not have to borrow money for it. So that would be a good thing to bring. We're seeing the benefit of a number of improvements throughout the plant, so we're not having to replace valves and some of those other expensive smaller projects in the past, thus creating room for that fuel tank replacement, and that's a good thing. Other than that, there's a large number of industrial automation improvements, process automation, and those will lead to more efficiencies throughout the plant, so we believe those are great candidates for this program. The following slide talks about the cash reserves. As I said, this is by policy. The CIP reserves is proposed to add $2 million next year. And we're at that point in the continuum where the policy was originally $1 million a year, every year. Starting last year, it went to 1.5 for 2021. Now it's going to 2 million, 2.5 million, 3 million, and so on. And that will cap at a certain value, and it will end when we get to a peak around 50 million or so of 2019 dollars in that fund. So the point is that this is per policy, this is in the long range finance plan, and it's meant to build up those reserves as needed for capital improvement programs going forward.
Matt, one quick question. How were we able to reach a higher reserve this year? Is it based on all the things that you were doing with the loans and renegotiating them?
The reserves, the reserves are invested and they will grow, excuse me, every year. So the operating reserve, for example, that's $1 million plus 10% of operating budget. And even though the budget is going up slightly, we did earn enough for those reserves to be met without having to further contribute. Now, from 18.6 million last year, add $1.5 million to that as they are being contributed each year by the members, that brings our target balance to nearly 20.6 million. And so that target balance will need to be added. So I'm sorry, it will add the $2 million that we're proposing to that. But no, it's not to do so much with the debt and financing. This is meant to be available if needed for projects that are not actively planned or budgeted, kind of a, I don't know, emergency projects fund, if you will.
And can you tell me again what was the cost of Redwood City's portion because of COVID?
Sure. Well, we think that change in flow and loading is driving anywhere from 1.2 million to 1.5 million of allocable cost to the city of Redwood City.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Collins.
Thank you. Matt, you mentioned flow and loading. That obviously, since I'm relatively new, I'm not sure what that means. I can imagine sure. what flow means. I'm not sure what loading means.
Sure. I'll give a layperson's answer, and then Teresa or Monty, if he's on, can speak to the details I missed. But each member has its own pump station, and those pump stations are metered. So as that flow is coming through, the meter is measuring just how many gallons or millions of gallons per day are coming through. So we have that continuously throughout the year. And so we have a very good database of the flows of each respective member. The loadings are measured sampling during the dry weather months. Samples are taken regularly, and then those samples are measured for suspended solids, like sand and grit and things that are suspended and that ultimately settle. But that's a measurement that they take. Our laboratory reports that, keeps a database, and we refer to that. And that tells us how many pounds of that solid material is coming into the plant. The other one is the biochemical oxygen demand, BOD, and that's starches and sugars and things that don't settle, but they're in the water. Those have to be treated, and it takes a certain amount of energy to treat that, so those costs are allocable. So those three measurements are taken for all of the members throughout the year. And then, as I said, it's kind of a zero-sum game when we look at how many relative to each other, X percent from Redwood City should get X percent of the cost that goes with that.
Okay. Yeah, Matt, you did a pretty good job at that.
Thank you.
the BOD is basically measuring the strength as you have different types of communities or different types of individual contributors to the wastewater flow, you'll get different BOD. For example, if we had canneries in the area that have, you know, process a lot of food or fruit, something like that, those types of industries have very high BOD as opposed to residential, which is, you know, pretty normal for wastewater. Or like refineries, things like that. So a BOD is basically measures what they call the strength, how much oxygen is needed to treat the water. And then, as Matt said, the suspended solids are all the solid material that comes in the wastewater. So I'll just leave it at that.
As I said, I can imagine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thanks.
Move on. Okay. So, thank you. The last few slides are speaking to debt structure. So we've done a number of things, a lot of activities. As I know that we've been bringing things regularly to the commission, and they have supported this, but it's starting to be reflected even as soon as the 21-22 budget, because we are seeing those savings that were associated with the 2021 refunding bonds. We sold those bonds 2 weeks ago. There's a slide after this that speaks to that, and we had some good results. We've confirmed with the state, they are satisfied with our $169 million loan application. No more questions, everything's signed off. They are routing those documents for final review. We'll be executing those documents, knock on wood, in the next several weeks or no later than May. So those numbers can be now adjusted and reflected into next year's budget as well. And the good news is we were selected by the EPA to proceed with two new WIFIA loans. That's the next action item, but I wanted to mention that. The following slide speaks to specifically, I think, the results that we saw when we refunded the 2021 bonds. We sold these bonds on March 2. You'll see that originally in October, when we brought this to the commission for authorization, We estimated that the total nominal savings would be about $14 million, and the total present value savings would be nearly $9.9 million. We updated that in January when our underwriter recommended that we include one of the SRF loans that was what was 2.6% interest loan, and we were able to save some money by paying that off early and rolling that into this structure as well. So we brought that back to the commission. At that time, we estimated the savings would be $11.8 million, the present value would be nearly $8 million, and we came in even better than that. The final sale executed in March, on March 2, with $20 million in actual nominal savings over the 30-year amortization, with $14.7 million in net present value. So we were very happy with that. We have an interest rate of 2.3% on the entire deal. And we think this was a good result. We're very happy with that. But again, some of those savings are starting to show already in the 21-22 proposed budget. The final slide, I think, with some numbers on it, is showing that just what those debt service payments will be. This is around $250,000 lower than it thought to be last year. So those savings are going straight to the bottom line. Each of the members' details are here. I have shared these numbers and all of the supporting detail with the respective finance staff of the members, so that everyone knows what is coming. And we're working on, you know, as I said, now the additional activity to keep these future values intact or maybe even improve on them a little bit. But you'll see that going forward over the next decade, this year, proposed 22, fiscal year end of 23, kind of a static $19.5 million number. In 2024, once the rescue program ends, that's when the SRF loans will become due. So that's where you see that increase. And then the Withia loans allowed a four-year deferral of payments. So you will see that increases further in 2028 to that $41 million number you'll see on the middle of the page there. After that, that will be the bulk of our borrowing will be complete. We'll be on the kind of the plateau version, if you will. But this is getting very close to the end here of our borrowing phase. And with that, I think this is our final slide with some figures on it. No action is being taken today. This is an opportunity to gather direction, to adjust as necessary, and then bring this back in April for the second budget hearing, after which it will be incorporated into each of your entities' respective operating budgets for their May and June budget hearings. And with that, available to answer any questions.
Okay. Are there any questions from my colleagues? Commissioner Lieberman?
Thank you. This is a little bit off budget topic, but I got to thinking about this a little bit when we saw the chart at the early part of today's session on the state of wastewater treatment plants. And I'm just wanting to see if you have any insight or thoughts about this. The plant is originally constructed, as I understand it, we had a lot of, I'll say, either federal or state grants that allowed the construction to occur. When I see the state of the wastewater treatment plants around the country, my first thought was, are we going to see any kind of federal plan that all of a sudden makes hundreds of billions of dollars, or not trillions of dollars, accessible for rebuilding this stuff, because so many communities may not be in position to afford it themselves. And I'm not saying we should be delaying ourselves to, you know, on the off chance that that happens, but I'm just kind of curious, do you hear or see anything that suggests that that kind of money may be available for those agencies that put off the kind of capital improvements that we're doing.
I think what we'll be seeing, hopefully under the Biden administration, we'll be seeing more infrastructure spending. I know there's been a lot of talk in Congress about that, U.S. Congress. In part, the WIFIA and SRF loan programs are in response to the need for infrastructure spending. So I think, kind of my crystal ball, I think those are the types of funding that we're going to be seeing from the federal government, as opposed to the flat out grants like we saw in the early 70s.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, just something to kind of think about, just so that if there do turn out to be any programs, we should definitely see, even if we've done all of this work, that we can do anything that helps out the ratepayers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We're always keeping our eyes open for grants or low cost financing for our projects.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll echo what Teresa says. The WIFIA program for us has been a very good find. It's low cost of money, very efficient program. So they've worked out quite well. Now, WIFIA started with something that originally was called TIFIA, the Transportation Infrastructure Improvement money run by the DOT. That program was, as I understand it, less successful than WIFIA has been on the water side. Now the EPA runs WIFIA, Department of Transportation runs, and never the two shall meet. I have heard, musings, and I've seen, articles that talk about some sort of infrastructure finance commission at the federal level to sort of take these programs, collapse them, and to run them, and whatever best practices could ensue. That to me would make a lot of sense. I don't know if that would be more or less bureaucratic, but certainly EPA has been very successful and nimble in their program. And we like that, what they've done. And it's been very complementary to what we needed. So we'll continue to watch for that, but perhaps that's some inklings of what could occur in the new administration. But we're fairly locked in right now. But 10 years from now, I think that's when more of this could be needed by a lot of different agencies.
Great. I thinking about what you were saying, it makes sense when you put organizations together, but at the same time, depending on the administration, if you're going to get rid of the EPA or get rid of something, then you have them all together, then you lose a lot. So I don't know what the best way is moving. And I remember TIFIA when I was on the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. And anyway, things to think about. Any other questions from my commissioner colleagues on item 8B? Okay, this is not an action item. So then if there's nothing else, I think we're moving on to item 9, which we don't have.
And, right.
And number 10, we're actually number 11. So we are ready to adjourn unless there are any other questions or concerns or anything. Yeah. Okay.
Great. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. See you next month.
Everybody.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody.